There are times in your life, once or twice a year, where you get motivated, where you decide, something happens where you say, I'm making a decision. I'm gonna lose that weight. I'm gonna enroll in that class. I'm gonna do whatever it is. It only happens a couple times a year, where you decide to do something and you stick with it. How many of y'all have ever done something that you set a goal for? Amen? It's gonna happen today, amen? Y'all have a seat. Welcome to Kingdom Life Church. Whew. Hallelujah. Y'all give a hand for the front line. Best front line in the land. Hallelujah. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Woo, ain't nothing like hearing Trina come out here and just incite a riot, amen? I'm telling you, there are times I'm working at work and I just hear Trina singing. I just go singing it right then and there. I'm telling you. You want to change your atmosphere at work? Get into praise right there. I don't mean like the record praise. I mean the KLC praise. I'm talking about at the point where they done kicked their shoes off already. Tiny doing the jerk and all of that. I'm talking about the real praise. Hallelujah. So welcome to Kingdom Life Church. We're helping people too. Amen, amen, and it keeps on getting better. Welcome on Facebook live stream. This is how we normally act. We're not just showing off for you, amen? Hallelujah. I am so excited to be here this morning. My name is Glenn James, and I am a part of Kingdom Life Church. Hallelujah. Giving honor where honor is due to our pastor and first lady, Pastor Michael and Anita Phillips. Amen. Y'all can clap for that. Fantastic leaders. Fantastic leaders. And our elders and mothers of the church. For some of y'all that are new, you may not know all the elders, but they watched me when I was, as I was growing up in this church. Bishop Sandy, pastor's mother, like my second mother. Thank you, Mom. She watched us grow up, and she didn't hold anything against me. Amen. I remember one time, Pastor and I go way, way, way back. I actually started at this school. It used to be a school way back in the day. I was 12 years old, and Pastor and I were running around like 12-year-olds do. And neither one of us were doing our work at the time. We were both smart, but we just decided we didn't want to do our work. So, I mean, Bishop Sandy got so upset one day. Michael brought his report card home. And unfortunately, I chose that time to be at their house. And I was 12, I couldn't go nowhere, so I just had to just, if she was mad, she was mad at me too. You know what I mean? And she saw that report card, and she took it, looked at it, she says, oh my God, how could you get, she's talking to Michael now, y'all pastor, my pastor, and he's 12, how could you get 4 D's and 2 F's. I mean, I'm putting it nicely. She was good and saved, but boy, she blessed him out. And I was like, well, it's not that bad. She looked at me, and I was like, oh, my God. And she said, tell me one thing. I said, well, you ain't got to be that mad at him. I shouldn't have said nothing. She wore me out. She said, tell me one good thing about this report card, Glenn. Tell me one good thing. I looked at it, and I said, well, at least you know he ain't cheating. That's a true story. Hallelujah. We go back. Special place in my heart for these ministers of the word, for these ushers. They do a fantastic job. Y'all give a hand to the ushers. To bring the word to you every Sunday, it's just not one person. Pastor Michael is certainly the anointed man of this house, but he has a team, he has a staff. He has folks that make that praying for him earnestly. Amen? And I need y'all to pray for me today. Because the word that, oh, come on, I need y'all to pray for me today. I need some audience participation. Hallelujah. Because the word that's going to come forth today is going to change you. It's going to challenge you. It's going to cause you to move. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand for the reading of the word. If I can name this text today, if I can name this sermon today, it's called The Thermostat or the Thermometer. Matthew 5:13.
This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. I'm going to say it one more time. You are the salt of the earth. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is talking to you. That wasn't a suggestion. He was calling those things that be not as though they were. He was actually defining who you are. Amen? How many of you have ever taken any of those tests on Facebook where they say, you're kind of like this and you're kind of like that? Oh, now y'all phony now. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And you find all these different things and they say, oh, you're kind of like this and your favorite color is blue or orange or plaid. None of those things are real. How would they know? You're so much more complex of an individual than a couple of comments on Facebook. If you want to really know what something was intended, you got to go back to the designer. Amen? How many of you have ever looked at, you got a new car, you got a car, and you looked at the manual? You'd be shocked. I do one better. Look at your phone. How many of y'all actually have read the manual on your phone? You'd be shocked at the stuff you can do. You just start using it, amen? If you want to know the use, you got to go back to the manufacturer. So Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is the salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Amen? Father God, we give you honor and praise this morning, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives, Father God. We thank you just for who you are, because you and you alone are God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over anything that tried to exalt itself above you. Oh, hallelujah, Father God, Lord. We bind every spirit but the Holy Spirit, and we proclaim, we profess the blood of Jesus in this room today, Father God, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord, that no one would leave the same way they came, Father God, Lord. Permeate their hearts. Divide the soul and the spirit, Father God. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. Amen. Now, you know, come on now. Pastor taught me well. Turn to your right. Smile at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today, but I came for the word. Other side, I'm glad you're here today, but I came for the word. Amen. Y'all have a seat now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, the good news is, it's 11:20. Y'all about to get to the restaurant. They might not be open by the time y'all get to that restaurant. I promise you that. Y'all gonna get there, they gonna be like, you ain't got to say table for two. They gonna say, oh, y'all only two here, obviously, you know what I mean? You're gonna be brand new, so we're gonna get you in and out. So if we go in here now, and here's the thing, we're gonna have fun today, but we're gonna get the word in. And I got a challenge for all of y'all. Some of y'all might be like, well, Glenn, I've been saved longer than you are old. That's true. Some of y'all are ministers of the word. You've been preaching a long time, and you know the words backwards and forwards. True as well. So you have a tougher task than anyone else that's brand new in this room, because you got to find the one thing that I might say that you don't know. You got to find the one thing I might say. See, if you're brand new, everything I say, you'd be like, oh, my God. He said God going to bless you. Whatever. You all over. But if you, oh, you'd be like, been there, done that, heard that. I would have preached that differently. So you got a big challenge today. You got to find that one thing. It might just be one. But I promise you, if you look for it, it'll change your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's get into the word now. Let's start at Matthew, the 5th verse. Because, you know, if you ever want to see, you ever get into a verse, you can't just get right into the verse. You got to start in the beginning. So Matthew 5. This is really what Jesus is giving the Beatitudes. We're not going to go all through that, but it says, one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Amen? So he's actually teaching the disciples. So let's skip down to verse 11. God blesses you when people mock you. Now, let's just stop right there. I didn't write that. I used to wonder, like, why is God blessing you? And let me help y'all. I know for a long time I thought that the blessing was the house or the car or the, you know, the red bottoms and all. There ain't none of that. The blessing is what God says about you.
Hallelujah. Why does God bless you? It says it right there in the word. Because what? When people mock you. Why does that have to happen? I got my notes here, so y'all forgive me here. Here's the thing. I'm from Baltimore, but I moved here when I was about 9 years old. My dad had a corporate job, and we lived in California. I mean, I have two sisters. One was born in Florida, one was born in California, and, you know, I was born in Florida, one was born in Delaware, and one was born in California. And we moved all around, because, again, my dad had a corporate job, and he decided to leave that corporate job, and we came to Baltimore when I was about 7 or 8, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, you know, we were doing okay out in California. We lived in L.A., and, again, I was young, so I didn't know any different. But I didn't know one thing that was different. We left L.A., and we had a reasonably sized house and everything, came right straight to Walbrook Junction. Real different. I don't care what part of L.A. you're thinking about, it ain't like Walbrook Junction, let me tell you. I mean, when we lived in L.A., we lived in a house and it had a cul-de-sac. I got to Baltimore, they had alleys, you know what I mean? And I love this. This is my home. But it was different. And I met one of my best friends at the time. His name was Eggie. Yeah, everybody in Baltimore got nicknames. You got a nickname, too. Just don't nobody know it. I know in here you go by your government name, but, I mean, this dude, his name was Eggie. His real name was Dave, but Eggie. And he had a cousin, and they were raised by a single mom, as a lot of people in Baltimore are. Nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. And his cousin was a great basketball player, but we were 9 and he was about 17. How many of y'all got a 17-year-old son? Any of y'all and teenagers had a 17-year-old son, teenagers? They're a little challenging, ain't they? Well, Eggie's cousin is absolutely challenging. And rebellious guy, great basketball player. And when we got to Baltimore, the first thing he realized is that I had a mom and dad. The first thing he realized. And frankly, he was a little jealous. So he told me, he said, "That's not your dad. You're actually adopted." Now, I'm 9'10", he's 17. I was traumatic. It's funny now. He was like, "Oh, no, you're adopted, man. Your dad's dark skin, your mom's light skin. You should be one or the other. You kind of brown. You the FedEx kid." So he used to literally call me FedEx for like 10 years. I went to my dad. I said, "Dad, you didn't tell me I was adopted." He said, "What? Boy, shut up." That's all he said. And I was upset. And he had to go and show me my birth certificate. I still didn't believe him. I mean, he went through it. I mean, I'm talking about for like 5-6 months. I mean, I was upset. And they just laughed at me like, "Yo, you adopted." Ah. And finally, he just stood up and he said, "Glenn, you're not adopted." I said, how do I know that, Dad? He says, "Because I'm your father, and I said so." See, he didn't have to try to be my father. He didn't have to prove he was my father. He just had to be my father. Amen? That's why God blesses you, because of who he is. Amen? Ain't got nothing to do with you. What you did or didn't do, it's because of who he is. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's get into that was free, but let's get into the text. I want y'all, and we're going to go back to that for a second now. 13. So when God says he gives you a definition, how many of y'all think it might be important to find out what exactly am I? Amen. People go their whole lives not knowing who they are, or what they are, right? Their whole life. Most of the time when people are going through major issues, the biggest thing is, it usually comes out to, they don't know who they are. So salt, your soul. Okay, let's talk about it. What is salt? Because I had to look it up, because I'll be honest with you, I was an English major in college. I mean, I was so smart, I majored in something I already spoke. You know what I mean? So I was not a science guy at all. I'm serious. What is salt? Salt is a preservative. It's a mineral. It's actually it's in the earth. It's a mineral. It enhances flavor. You know what I mean? Usually the difference between a good cookout and a bad cookout is what? Salt. How many of y'all have had chicken with no salt? How many of y'all had chicken with too much salt? I'm trying to tell you, the difference between a good cookout and a bad cookout is salt. Amen. It's a mineral. It's resident in the earth. It makes up 3% of ocean water. You know, but Jesus said,
I mean, it does lots of things in your body. It actually regulates the water in your body. What does this have to do with the word? It has everything to do with the word. If you're going to define yourself, you need to understand what God was saying. You know, language has power. Seriously, words have power. That's the first thing we're going to learn today. Words have power. Because really what we're talking about is influence. I'll get to that in a second. So how does it lose its saltiness? God said that what good is if it loses flavor? Technically, salt can't lose its flavor. It can't. It's a mineral. It's either salt or it's not. But what can change is your ability to taste it. Come on now. So how does salt lose its flavor to you? So you got to add that part in. You can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Amen? See, salt doesn't lose its flavor. It loses its flavor to you. The only way salt can lose its flavor to you is one thing and one thing only. Dilute it. You got to dilute it. That's the only way it loses its flavor. You got to dilute it. And here's the key. What am I saying? What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is that your ability to change a situation can be diluted. If people can't tell whether you're salt or sugar, because, you know, they kind of look the same, right? It's dilution. See, and that's different than today, because right now, today, everybody will tell you it's all, you know, it's live your truth. You know what I mean? That's not true for me. Ain't no truth for you or truth for me. There's only one truth. Regardless of whether you decide to accept it or not, it don't really matter. Hallelujah. So salt's a change agent. Salt's an influencer. Amen? So we're going to talk about being an influencer today. We're talking about being a thermostat and not a thermometer. What's the difference? See, a thermostat actually determines the temperature in a room. A thermometer takes the temperature. Amen? As we go through here, I want you to ask yourself, which one are you? I mean, because everybody has something they bring to the table, right? My mom used to say, everybody puts people in a good mood. Some people when they leave the room, and some people when they enter the room. All right? So everybody is an influence. See, you're salt. That's the point. See, let's get that through. That's the point. Point one, you are salt. I didn't write it. God wrote it. You're salt. The question is, are you diluted or not? Is your witness diluted? Amen? Do you have influence? Amen? All right. So the next thing you are is light. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I won't even really get into that. But light is a visible spectrum. This is the definition. Visible spectrum that allows sight. So not only are you have the ability to preserve people because you're salt, right? But you also have the ability to allow them to see. And what are you saying? Some of y'all, let's talk to some of the married folks for a second. There are people right now, there are other married couples that are looking at you that are married. They're only married because you're still married. I'm talking to the married folk now. There's people right now that were going to throw in the towel, and they said, my mom and dad are still married for their 40th year. We can figure it out. They might not have been able to see past that second year of their marriage, but they saw your 34th year. Amen? You allowed them to see. Amen? That's what you bring to the table. So how do you become an influence? How do you become a thermostat? The first thing you have to do, write this down, is decide. You got to make a decision. See, in politics, there's value in finding people that, or making sure that people can't decide. It's called a split vote. I'm sorry, I'm a business person, so I'm going to have to give it to you guys like this. See, for you young ministers, when you got to see, Pastor came to me like Wednesday, and he said, you preach on Sunday. And I went, you know what I said? Okay. That's all I said, okay. See, for the young ministers, you don't have a chance to go and figure out some type of exegesis of the word when somebody said you got to preach. It's got to already be in you. That's all you got. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it seem like. You only gonna preach what's inside of you. Amen? Because you can only be what you are. Amen? Because up here, I'm telling you, just this 10 feet is a whole big difference. You can only be up here what you are. Amen? You can lie to people some of the time. You know what I mean? But up here, no. You can only be what you are. So here's the key. You got to decide. See, in politics, there's value in a group that won't decide. Split decision. How do you do it? Give them too much information. When you got candidates, all you got to do is start giving people lots of information, but make the information be similar. And what do people do when they don't have, when they got too much information? Nothing. Indecision. See, your indecision is a decision in itself. Amen? Don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed with too much information. What did God say? Your soul. Keep it moving. Companies, now here's the thing. We're talking about influencing you now. Companies spend billions of dollars a year to help influence you. It's called what? Advertising, marketing. I mean, you get in the mail. You get a card in the mail that says, buy this, go here, do this, do that, right? You get in the mail, you get on your phone, you get, what are they trying to do? They're trying to influence you, right? Billions of dollars. Largest company in the world is Walmart. Almost $1 trillion. They spend just about $1 billion in advertising just to get you to come to their place. Not even to get you to buy anything. Their strategy is not to get you to buy. Their strategy is to get you to see them. Because they know if you see them, you'll buy. Amen? What's that got to do with it? What we're talking about today? Well, because everybody's trying to influence you except for you. You got to send a letter to yourself and say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed when I come and blessed when I go. Tonight, send yourself a letter. Decide, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I am. Don't you sit around and let everybody else try to influence you and make you do something. They got no idea what you're supposed to be doing. They're trying to sell you a part for a boat and you ain't even got a boat. Decide. When my daughter was young, she was trying to decide what school she, well, just a few years ago, she was trying to decide what school she was going to go to. She's at Morgan State now. Junior, straight A's. Yes, sir. I'm excited for her. And she used to say, Dad, how do I know if I'm making the right decision? And I said, you don't know. You just got to make a decision and then make it right. That's different now. That's different. You see what I'm saying? This is not motivation. This is just truth, right? That's what God was trying to say to them, the disciples. You are salt. Influence yourself. That's the first thing you got to do. Your words have power. Absolutely, your words have power. That's one of the reasons why, if some of y'all have ever seen other people get arrested, because I know you ain't been arrested, what's the first thing they tell you? You have the right to what? Remain silent. Anything you say can change your future. See, everybody knows that but the church. Everybody knows that what you say changes your future. So I would challenge you today. The first thing you got to do is decide. Make a decision. What are you going to do? When you decide it, then don't back up off of it. I am going to do this for God. And that's it. Decide. Next thing you got to do is you got to do. Vince Lombardi said, example is not the main thing, it's the only thing. See, not being a doer in life will lead to frustration. Lead to frustration, I'm trying to tell you. That's why the Bible said faith without what? Action is dead. It's dead. So your action revives your faith. Think about that. See, if you believe, you're bold. Amen. I don't care what you say, but what you do determines what you're thinking and who you are. Amen? Now, be a doer in life. Story, I played football all my life. I can't say what school, but all my life. And, you know, when you're playing ball, nobody actually uses their real name. You know what I mean? Because in college, you know, everybody just kind of, you know, they put all these guys together. They got all this talent. And we had all types of guys on my team. We had one guy's name was Booger, for obvious reasons. You know what I mean? You can let you figure that out. We had another guy, his name was Tex, he was from Texas. Another dude's name was Cali, he was from Cali. And we had one dude, his name was Big Slop. We actually called him Big Slop. And what's funny about Big Slop is I think he had a little bit of a speech impediment. So y'all ever known people like this? When he would talk, you never really knew what he was saying. You know what I mean? It was kind of a theory every time he talked. You know, he'd be like, yo, Big Slop. He'd be like, what's up, y'all? What's going on, man? That's how he talked. And he would carry around another dude that went to high school with him. And they were always together. So when Big Slot would talk, everybody would just look at the dude and go, what'd he say? And he'd be like, yeah, we about to go to the cafeteria. Yeah, let's go. And I swear, that's how he talked. I'm telling you. And it didn't matter what. Yo, what's up? Yeah, tell you what's up. He talked just like that. And when you got him one-on-one, you realize he had a little bit of speech impediment. He just kind of just stutter. And he said everything three times. So he would come up to me. He'd be like, Glenn. Can I get in the for front of you? I said, no. Problem is, he was like 6'8". So I was like, I'm not really hungry anyway. Go on and go in front of him. But big, great guy. But one day, so everybody always kind of laughed at Big Slop and everything because they knew he couldn't talk real well, but a great guy. And one day, there was this girl walking by. And Big Slop saw her. He was like, yo, that girl right there, that's what I'm talking about. That girl right there, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I said, what you know about that? He said, I'm going to marry her. I said, y'all hear what Big Slop said? He said he's going to marry that girl. And we all laughed and we laughed and we laughed at Big Slop. I'm telling you, we'd be in the locker room, be like, yo, Big Slop going to marry so-and-so. And he'd be like, ha ha. But one day, he was like, Glenn, I'm gonna ask her for a date. I said, all right. So he goes up to this girl, and I can't say her name because I don't want to incriminate the guilty. And he comes up to her, and we're all watching, and he comes up and goes, hello, young lady, can I please take you out? And what we didn't know is every day up until that point, he was in the mirror going, hello. Hello, young lady. Can I take you out? Every day. And we heard him say that. We were like, oh my God, we were floored. And she said, Big Slop, is that you? He was like, yeah, that's me. Can I please take you out on a date? We all looked around and said, Lord Jesus. See, he decided he was going to do something. And guess what? He's married to that girl today. Married her in front of all of us. See, nothing happens until you do something. Amen? You got to decide. Then you got to do something. It doesn't matter what you're working with. What only matters is what you decide to do. So I would challenge you, do something. See, here's the key. I remember one time my wife and I were going to a restaurant, and I said, let's go to this restaurant because I know so-and-so. It was packed in there. And I went in there, I told the maitre d', I said, yeah, my wife and I, we need to get a table. I know so-and-so. And they looked at me, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll be right back. Hour and a half later, we're sitting down. Another friend of mine came to that same restaurant 2 weeks ago. He happened to see the owner of the restaurant saw him. And when he saw him, he was like, same place was packed. He went, yo, Tony, y'all get him a table. They went and brought the table in the front of the restaurant, sat him and his wife right in front. See, in business, you always hear what matters is who you know. What matters is who knows you. Amen? See, that's the difference. Don't worry about trying to know everybody. Make sure that by what you do, people know you. Because when you know you, they'll set up a table in front, and it won't even matter what your situation is. They will come, grab a table, sit you at the front. And while your haters are sitting around going, how'd they get up front? How'd they get that job? How'd that happen? You were somewhere doing. Amen? You got to do. Important. The other thing you can do, and this is for the husbands now, this is free. I'm telling you, that's my heart. How many of y'all here married? Okay, fantastic. Now, husbands, One of the things I remember when Pastor said, about 13 years ago, my wife and I, we were newly married, not newly married, but we were just, you know, still young and everything. And I was like, man, oh, man, she does this, she says that, she does this. And I'm just talking to Pastor, just the fellas. And he, you know what he looked at me? I mean, I was like, man, ah. And you know what he looked me straight in my eye, Bishop, and said, I'm peace to my wife. I said, you make me sick. I said, what are you talking about, man? He says, I'm peace to my wife. What he really meant is he was working at being consistent. Husbands, the best gift you can give your wife is to be consistent. Be consistent. She already knows what you are. Just be that all the time. See, I had a habit years ago. My wife say something I ain't like. I ain't speak to her for a week. We ain't talking. We doing the silent treatment each other. I know that ain't none of y'all. I'm talking about me now. But then the Lord got a hold of me and said, how are you influencing the situation? See, husbands, wives too, your marriage is going to be what you say it's going to be. Not what somebody else said. You know, as a husband, if you go, well, why y'all doing that? Well, my wife said, dude, I'm doing what she wants. What do you say? It's going to be what you say it's going to be, amen. Influence the situation. Next time something going on down in your house, sit down with your wife and say, hey, what's going on, baby? You know I love you. Let's talk about this. Let's work it out. Amen? That's good information right there. I don't care if y'all clap. That's good information. That'll change your life. It's going to be what you say it is. Are you emotionally stable? You know, again, we're talking about influence. Men, you got to be stable enough so that your wife knows she can have a bad day. Come home and say something in an emotional state, and you're not going to be all bugged out and gone. She need to know that you're a stake in the ground. That no matter what happens, you are solid. Ladies, am I telling the truth? Because it's going to happen. You got to do it. Decide. You got to do it. Amen? Matthew 5:43. Let's go there real quick here because I'm going to land this plane shortly. All right. 5:43. It says, Jesus still teaching the disciples. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, see, this is where you got to peek up now. This is what you got to hear. Love your enemies. See, love your enemies. See, I was raised that if somebody hits you, what you do? I was raised the same way, right? I didn't raise my son that way. I said, boy, use your head. How about you just don't get hit? That's the first thing, got into a fight. I said, how'd you get into that fight? What happened? How did you affect the situation? I mean, I'll be honest with y'all. First thing I said is, did you win? But then I said, listen, how can you not be in that situation again? He said, what are you talking about, Dad? This guy did that, blah, 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 blah. I said, how are you going to allow him to get y'all both kicked out of class? What if that kid walked in there, and I'm talking to my son now, he walked in there and said, I'm going to get us both kicked out of class today. He popped you in the head. You jump up and pop him back in the head. Y'all both suspended. So you basically let him determine your future. Well, I ain't going to let nobody just hit me, blah, blah, blah. I said, I ain't say that. I said, use your brains, right? Be an influence, amen? How did you influence the situation? Ask yourself this. There's always something that you could do, amen? There's always something differently you could have done. Let me ask you this. At your job, would folks call you an influence? Would they know you're saved? I'm not talking about did you witness to somebody. I'm asking you, would they look at your behavior and say, well, they might say something different about them. But would they actually know you're saved? If they had a problem, would you be the person they come to for prayer? That's influence. Amen? That's changing the situation. That's being salt. See, salt can't get into a situation and not change it. That's who you are. Here's the key. You're either changing it for good or bad. Amen? So, influence. Pray for those that persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Some folk, I'm telling you, I know some folk that are wilding out, and they blessed. Just because you saved don't mean you're going to have it all together, amen? But here's the thing. Jesus said, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. And then he made it plain. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different than anyone else? Come on now. Greatest commandment is what? Love thy neighbor. Come on now. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing. We're talking about influence. When's the last time you invited somebody else to church? If we got serious, this place would be so big. This place would be packed out. How many of y'all were here Wednesday? Right? Was that amazing? We had kings in this house. But did y'all notice one person was responsible for each one of those groups? One person, right? So imagine if you, group of one, decided, I'm going to bring my next door neighbor to church. I'm going to let him hear the word. I'm going to find somebody. By the end of the year, I'm going to be responsible for a family coming here to church. We wouldn't have enough seats in here. We would change the city. Because are we sold or are we not sold? The city's going to be what we say it's going to be, amen? But you got to be sold. Don't let your witness get diluted, amen? And don't just love the people that love you. Where's the reward in that? Amen? Amen. So we're going to land this plane. Last thing. So first thing you got to do is you got to decide. Next thing is you got to do. Third thing you got to do is you got to declare. See, declare is different than decree. Declare is to announce the beginning of something. It's like yelling four everywhere you go. So when pastors say four, what y'all say? Why? That's the beginning of something great. So imagine if every room you walked into, you were yelling four because the beginning of something great. So after you decide and after you do, you got to declare, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. It doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're a single mother. None of those things matter. Colonel Sanders didn't actually make it with Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was 65. Toni Morrison was a single mother and divorced at 31. By 57, she was a Pulitzer Prize winner. There was a single mother named Jo that was divorced and on welfare, trying to raise her daughter. She wrote the Harry Potter series. Her name's J.K. Rowling. She's worth $850 million today. Single mother. Alisa, it doesn't matter. So maybe you're old, young, doesn't matter. Maybe you say, I'm not that smart. Ali said, I never said I was the smartest. I said I was the greatest. See, it doesn't matter what excuse you use. The bottom line is God said you're salt. Amen? So be salt. So you have to declare who you are. And if you're not sure who you are, just say what God said. Because that's all that matters anyway. Amen? And then the last thing, and I'll wrap this up, is you got to dare. Edmund Burke said, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. See, the things that are happening in the city, good, bad, or whatever, it has nothing to do with the folks that are bad. It has everything to do with the people that are good not making the change. Amen? I dare you. I dare you to go to your next door neighbor and talk to them about Jesus, because that's the fourth thing. I dare you. I dare you to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. I dare you to invite that guy or that gal to Bible study. I dare you to witness to that guy on the train. I dare you to witness to that person that's walking right next to you. I dare you to pray for somebody when they're sick. I dare you to see somebody got into an accident and you jumped into action and you began to pray for them. I dare you. Man. And if you were from West Baltimore like me, you'd say, I D-double dog dare you. I'm trying to tell you that God has need for you, but you have to decide. You got to do. You got to declare, and I dare you. You got to dare yourself. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of the word. I told y'all I was going to get y'all out of here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this evening, or this afternoon. We thank you, Father God. Come on now, all hearts clear. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Cement this word in our hearts today, Father God. Cement this word in our hearts today, Father God. Help us, Father God. Help us to understand that you made us more than conquerors. Help us to understand, Father God, of what you've designed us to be, Lord. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be courageous. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Father God. Help us not to listen to the chatter. Father God, help us to focus on you. Help us to love our neighbors, Father. God, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory. Not for what you've done, but because of who you are. Father God, we thank you, Father God. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, Lord. That even as we leave here today, Lord, help us not to be the same. Inspire us, Father God. Let us write down goals and visions so that when we look at it, we'll run. Father, bring up that old thing that we thought was dead, that we thought we couldn't do, that we thought we were too old or too young or not smart enough or not having enough money. God, give us the vision. Give us the wherewithal to make it come to pass, Lord. Father God, you said in your word, we don't have to fight, but we do have to do. And it's not even by power, nor by might, but it's by your spirit. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives, Lord. And Father God, as we conclude this service today, Lord, we ask you for traveling mercies today. Keep us safe on the highways and byways, Lord. Help us to be salt and light and to recognize that. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Y'all are dismissed. Amen.